The great philosopher of the French Enlightenment, Voltaire, imagined the world as a ship and God as its captain. God built the ship to the best of his ability and pilots the ship to its destination. We humans are the rats that live on board. We scurry about, deck to deck, living our lives off all that the captain has provided. But we are far too insignificant for the captain to pay any attention to our affairs. This view of God continues on into our day. You may have heard it said that with all we know about the vastness of the universe, it is the height of human arrogance to believe that God cares about this little dot called Earth, or even more, that he would care about a rat like you. But this is not who God has revealed himself to be. This Sunday, we begin the season of Advent, which is a Latin word meaning he comes. The God who has revealed himself in the scriptures is a Lord who comes. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. The Lord is known by his coming. First, he is called the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, because he came to the patriarchs. He spoke to Abraham, ate with Abraham at Mamre, and stayed Abraham's hand when he would slay his son Isaac. The Lord provided a ram as a substitute sacrifice for Isaac, and he protected him in his sojourning. He revealed himself to Jacob at the top of a ladder at Bethel in heaven, and he wrestled with him before he faced his brother Esau. Second, the Old Testament church knew God as the Lord who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. For in Egypt, God came and visited his people. By his mighty hand, he freed them from their bondage. Through the waters of the Red Sea, he drowned Pharaoh and his armies and brought the people of Israel safely to the other side. He formed them into a nation and made them his own people. The Lord was known by his visitation. He identifies himself, saying, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." Yet the Exodus, this great salvation event of the Old Testament, was only a type, an image, a shadow of a greater salvation to come. Jeremiah prophesies, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, 'As the Lord lives who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt.'" This mighty coming of the Lord was only temporary. God would visit his people again. Despite God's mighty work of salvation in Egypt, despite his gracious dwelling in the temple, and despite his constant calls of repentance through the prophets, the people of Israel rebelled again and again. The prophets warned that a day was coming, a day of judgment, destruction, and a day of exile, when Israel would be dragged into slavery once again. Yet God again came and visited his people in exile. He led them back to the Holy Land. Thus Jeremiah's prophecy was fulfilled, and God was known by a third name, the Lord who led Israel out of exile. Yet this salvation too was temporary, a type and shadow of things to come. The prophets declared yet another day of the Lord, when the Lord would visit his people again. A day when they would no longer call God the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when he would no longer be identified as the God who brought Israel out of Egypt or out of exile. Jeremiah prophesies, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." In joyous expectation of this king, whom God will send to his people, the psalmist cries out, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The Lord declares through his prophets that he himself will come to visit his people. But is this good news? Should we sinners hope for the day when God will execute justice and righteousness in the land? The visitation of the Lord was not good news for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was not good news for Pharaoh and his armies. Can it be good news to us who are unrighteous? Should we fear the coming of the King of glory? Jeremiah prophesies, "This is the name of the Lord by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness." God is known in his coming. He is no longer known as the God who brought Israel out of Egypt, but as the Lord is our righteousness. Jesus, the righteous branch of David, enters Jerusalem, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt. He does not come like Caesar on a war chariot led by four horses with captives strung out behind him. Christ does not enter Jerusalem as a conqueror at all, but instead he comes to be a victim. The King of glory was born in a manger. The Lord of hosts subjected himself to the scorn of man. Righteousness and justice himself came to be found guilty and executed on your behalf. He came to give you his righteousness. God is known by his visitation, and his name is the Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is not distant, but he comes to his people, and he is known in his coming. It is to this great salvation that Exodus testifies. In the waters of holy baptism, the devil and his armies were drowned. And you have been brought safely into the church. You have been made God's people. He washed away your sins and clothed you with his righteousness. The Lord is your righteousness. The Lord of glory, born in the manger, comes to you in body and blood every Sunday to forgive your sins, because he is your righteousness. In his word, he speaks to you and declares he is your righteousness. The Lord who visited the patriarchs, who visited his people in Egypt, who visited his people in the exile, who came to die for your sins, comes to you now in word and sacrament, and he will come again. On the day of the resurrection, you will call upon his name. The Lord is our righteousness, and you will be saved. Amen.